Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we get into your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds, Father, to receive this, thy word, and to hear, to be able to understand, Father, the truth of it, so that we will not be deceived, that we can walk upright, Father, according to thy word. Now, Father, I pray that this study will bring us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and closer in our walk for you. Now, Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be dealing here with Romans chapter 5. Now, if we start out here with verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of Almighty God. 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know, as we really stop and think about what is in these four verses here, we started out there in verse 1 with justified by faith. Because we have been justified by faith, it was God's doing, not man's. In peace with God. This is not a feeling, but a standing. In God, and the believer are no longer an enmity, but have been reconciled. And this is a primary result of our justification, our access. We can come directly into the presence of God. Jesus Christ is not only our Redeemer, but he is also our advocate. By him, we gain entrance and acceptance before the Father. Wherein we stand, this is the answer to the psalmist's question, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand and rejoice? We boast in hope. He notes the absolute certainty the believer has of God's deliverance. You know, we cannot boast of ourselves, but we can boast about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things he has done for mankind. Now, verse 5. We go on here. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Ghost being given to us. The believer has the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is not a second blessing, but is just as much a certitude as the believer's justification. You see, these are all things that have been promised to you and I as believers by the Lord our God. Now, pardon me. 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. His death was vicarious. That is, he did not die merely for our benefit, but in our place. His was a substitutionary sacrifice. He died in our place for each one of us. Now, so we wouldn't have to. But now it's our choice how we want to live our lives and walk this earth. Now, 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, here in 9 and 10, by his blood and by his life, the death of Christ and his shed blood effects salvation. But the life of Christ sustains it. The reference is to the abiding results of Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, he died, and his blood that he shed there on that cross and through his beatings covers our sins. But then his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven and sitting on the right hand of Almighty God, he's there as an advocate also for you and I. 11. Not only so, but we also join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, Twelve. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Yes, because we were born with that old man sin that came to mankind through Adam and Eve, the first couple. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. You see, that period of time from Adam to Moses, those men did not know right from wrong, really. They had no law to go by, and things that they did really, God wasn't satisfied with. But he gave Moses the law so man would know. You see, the law is what brought sin into being known of mankind. The right and wrong things to do. And then with the birth of Jesus, we even became more familiar with things of right and wrong. And studying his word will even give us more knowledge of it. This is why it's so important for the study of God's word. Now, 13. Until the law, sin is in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, you see, that brought death during those years, in 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Although the sin of Adam brought death unto man, Jesus Christ now, with accepting him and having our sins forgiven and covered with his blood, and putting him on and receiving the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, we have eternal life. Think about that. Now this body one day will go back to dirt. But the spirit that is you will go on to be with the Lord. The word tells us to be absent from this life is to be present with them. Think about that. Now, Sixteen, and not as it was by one that sinned, so as the gift or the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Twenty. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But you know, Paul's reference to Adam shows that he understood Adam to have been a real person. Adam is not a mythological figure any more than Jesus was. No, he was real. We all know that. Now, we're in our last verse of this chapter, 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we know that we have life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died. That's why he was crucified, was to give us that life. Now, and make a way for us to be able to have that life in heaven with Almighty God. You see, when we go to him, and we are forgiven of our sins, and what is called being saved, that also reconciles us back to God. What a lot of people don't understand, and even if you talk to them, they really don't want to listen to it and don't want to believe it. You see, we came from him. It is God that put that spirit in the womb of your mother. Now, it's true. Your mother and dad came together. But it's also the act of God that put the spirit there in that. And we need to live our lives to go back to Him. He loved us enough to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for all the sins that we did. Now, we wonder about things and how they fit. We're getting ready to go into chapter 6. This chapter 6 has got an awful lot of information in it. An awful lot. And it is information we need. Not only to know, but to understand. Because it is what happens to you and I when we do go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens to us during that time. Now, as we are told in the book of Acts, which we just studied, we just finished going through that. Now, we're told in the book of Acts what the plan of salvation is, what we are to do in order to receive salvation. We have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and be forgiven. And then we are to be baptized in His name. No other way, in His name. And then we are to receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We have churches out here that will tell you that at the same time you are baptized, you are right then automatically filled Holy Spirit. That's not true. We seen that as we came through the book of Acts, as we studied that. How they would be, they'd go to the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd accept Him, they'd become believers. But then there was periods of time after their baptism, even before they would receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because you see, God is not going to give you something until you are ready to use it. And He knows when you're ready. Now, I'm not going to get into that chapter 6 this morning because it's going to take some time to go through it, and we'll do that this evening at 6 p.m. And you will know then what happens to you and why you need to be baptized and how and all about it. Because it gives us all so I want you to just think about that and then join back with me this evening at 6 p.m. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I pray this morning for each and every one that associates with this ministry. This ministry is yours and not mine. You set me here as an overseer. And Father, I close this word now this morning, and I thank you for it. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I'm praying for all of those that joins with me, that they be in health, they be kept safe through the day, and to be brought back this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word, Father, to grow closer to you and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they'll walk deeper, stronger, and straighter with your word, Father, and that they will be used by the Holy Spirit to do the work we have for us to do, Father. Our Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for them to have peace. And I pray mostly, Father, for them to all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And I pray for this land, Father, that has filled itself with so much evil. And I pray that those that are sitting in high places in our offices to be replaced, Father, with those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, and loves the church, your people in this country, and will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and help us, Father, to help bring those churches that needs repentance to repentance so that, Father, they will begin to teach the word and the truth of thy word. And Father, that they'll work with us to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. My Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless all. Have a great, great day. Bye-bye now.